You're listening to Dubstep and Dragons.
Hey, Matt.
Yes, Luke. Is this going to be appropriate?
It is appropriate. Okay, thank God. I promise.
After the last couple, I just...
Right. How do you make Budweiser?
Send him to school?
Yeah.
Good job.
I love it when I actually get one right.
Yeah.
That was good. Nice, clean joke. High five for that.
Yes. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Well done.
I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of myself.
A D&D 5e actual play podcast with a cyberpunk twist. My name is Matthew, and I will be your game master.
My name is Luke, and I'll play Ash.
Hello, Daniel Alphonse.
I feel like there's like commas between all those.
Semicolons, maybe.
Yeah.
My name's Sean. I'm playing... Who am I playing? Fallen.
Yeah.
Too many characters in my head.
I'm Jason. I'm playing Dringor Darkmoon.
Voices. How many campaigns do you play in every week?
It used to be 5. Jesus. I'm down to 2.
Oh. Well, that's unfortunate.
No,
I would love to play 5 times a week.
Well, that's unfortunate.
That sounds like fucking heaven and hell for my wife. Previously on Dubstep and Dragons, the crew sent the Baron where he belongs and found themselves in the land of Aetheria. Mm-hmm. Where we left off, you guys were in a magical observatory / laboratory with a man named Doc. You had just uncorked the ship, so it is hovering above the observatory. And, you guys were going to introduce Doc to Mike.
I would like to continue to argue religion with him.
And how would you like to argue religion with him?
I am going to pull out my tomes and vehemently start arguing with him. That's a crit 25. Just doctrine after doctrine after doctrine of how he's wrong.
You're just spitting all this religion. You're regurgitating every bit of religious text you can remember. Mm-hmm. You are throwing everything at him, and he's fascinating. Incorrect, but fascinating.
Fallen's just more flustered every time. He's like, it's wrong, whatever.
You know so many incorrect facts.
How? What are you talking about? There is only one god of the twilight.
Well, you're correct, but it's not the one that you're rambling on about. This saloon. A saloon is... I want to go into Dash's voice. A saloon is a bar. I don't know who this person you speak of is. If you're speaking of the goddess of twilight, I will have that for you momentarily. Because I can't remember it offhand.
A saloon is a goddess, not a bar.
Well,
not a tavern.
Selora would beg to differ. You could roll a natural 20 again. You have no idea who Selora is.
That's fair.
What do you have to say with this exclamation? Selora, huh?
Now, if you are quite done with your wasting of my time, I would really like to meet this Mike.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're going to love him. If you,
wonderful.
If you thought this was cool.
Yeah.
So, really, no magic?
No.
Just all... That's...
Gears and gyros.
Amazing. Yep. And what powers it?
Again, earth elements.
Just elements stuck together, creating energy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fascinating. It seems like a very roundabout way to get to where we are, but still, the fact that you were able to accomplish so much without any arcane power is incredible.
Well, I mean, Doc, you can maybe show us a couple things you might have in the library or study, I'd be interested to learn more about magic. Again, new concept, so.
Oh, goodness, there's so much. There's so much. And he just starts, he goes over to a bookcase and he just starts taking books and like chucking them off the shelves. And all these spiders are like creating these like pillars to like catch the books. It's these little, these little tiny, like tarantula size. And they're just like building on top of each other to like catch these books and like hand them to you.
Wow.
And I love these spiders.
Yeah, and
they're
he's
so
just
cool.
Recklessly just chucking books, and they're doing everything they can. These spiders are scrambling to catch all of them.
I'd like to make a check to see if I can make out any of the names or anything that might pop out in the titles.
Give me an Arcana check.
Great.
Guidance.
I'm gonna try to pick up one of the spiders.
Oh yeah, you grab one, and it's got like the, you know, the puppy thing where they like turn their head, and your Drake that I imagine is perched on your shoulder is very uneasy with these little spiders.
He's okay.
Six. Ouch. We're looking at a total of 18 for Arcana.
Oh, I mean, ouch.
It's off
ouch,
of a 2.
18. What's that?
It's off of a 2.
Oh my God. Anyway.
That's off a 2?
Yeah, I got guidance.
So these spiders like start stacking books in your hands. And you flip the first one over, and your brain does that like rearranging letters thing to kind of spell it out. And he's, do you speak the lingua arcana?
I mean, it's changing. I think this is a book about, but I know.
So you see that it just says spellbook property of, and then it's a crazy name underneath.
Yeah, this is the property of something.
Yeah. So do you have this language on your planet? Earth?
No. No.
Fascinating. And where did you learn this?
You know, I was just looking at the letters, and they started making some sort of legible text.
And he's just really studying you. Fascinating. Anyway, you can have a look through those. Those are old anyway.
Great, thank you.
I'm sure you'll pick it up. It's fine.
So, real question that I have, do any of them pop out with, like, do I see the word mind or a mind protection or anything like that?
As you flip through, if you're flipping through the books, this would be a pretty quick look, I would imagine, just kind of as you guys are walking. There's, like, a staircase that goes up the observatory to the top.
Okay.
And as you guys are walking up the stairs, I imagine you're just like flipping through these books real fast. Is there a spell you're specifically looking for?
I'm interested in a spell that would be on jewelry. Something of like mind shielding.
Okay. So do you ask, if you ask Doc about like some sort of mind?
Yeah.
He's, you know, I may be able to make one. It may take some time. It's possible to find something like that in like a magic shop or something like that, but off the top of my head, I don't have one.
Wait, you guys have magic shops?
Of course we do. I'm sure you...
Card magic and...
No!
Rabbits out of hats?
No!
Oh.
The little colorful ribbons you pull out?
No!
People in boxes
items,
that you saw in hats.
Items that are magical, or ingredients for making magic, or things to channel magic through. What kind of magic do you have on your world?
Like, we saw people in half, but we don't really saw them in half.
It's kind
parlor
of a
tricks. Yeah. I could saw you in half and actually saw you in half.
I'm good. Not for free. You have to take me to dinner first.
I don't get it. Anyway, this mic. So you guys spiral up.
As we're walking through, I'd ask, so Doc, what's the currency here? Because new to the planet, maybe we want to buy something from a magic shop. You want to do an exchange or something?
Well, you can always barter. Otherwise, gold, platinum, precious metals of any sort.
I pull out a platinum card. Does this work?
What is that? Is that platinum?
Yeah.
And he takes it. This is very flimsy platinum.
Well,
and I pull in a gold coin from the Shadowfell.
Perfect. He's got the right idea.
Oh, so all that gold we gave away?
Yes.
We should have kept it?
We didn't give it all away.
Oh, we did keep it that time.
Yeah, you guys kept like half.
Yeah.
I think you guys have like 22,000 gold or some shit like
Jump
that.
Change.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
But yeah, you charge. That's how it's money in our world.
This is useless. What do you do with this?
Well, you charge. You make purchases with it.
I'm trying to imagine explaining a credit card. Yeah,
to somebody that's.
you see, our bank in our time gives us these cards and they hold all of our money for us.
Fascinating, and you trust them with that?
Yeah. They're member FDIC insured.
He speaks truth.
This is dribble. This makes no sense.
It works
for us.
What
I've been dealing with.
These are strange. Your world is strange. And Mr. O's just over there like, you have no fucking idea. So, I have so many questions and so little time. We have much to accomplish. Let's meet this mic, and then you can all get a night's sleep, and then we can make a game plan in the morning.
All righty.
Are you ready for the magnificent mic?
<Dun-da-da.
laughs> So you guys get up to the top, and I would imagine Mike and all of the crew members that you guys picked up in the Shadowfell are probably like, now that they're out of the bottle. And they were put in the bottle with no warning.
Yeah, do we like feel different in the bottle?
No. Like you just
in a bottle?
You were just on the ship. And then I would imagine it. Yeah, I'd imagine at some point you like came up and you were like, huh. Well, this is weird.
Is that someone's keys?
Where were you keeping the bottle? Was it in the bag of holding?
Yes. I risked it.
Fortunately, your lungs were very, very small, so you weren't running out of air.
Did they see the back, man?
I'm going to regret bringing this up, but is this bottle an extra-dimensional space?
No.
Okay, thank God.
No, it is not. You were in an extra-dimensional space, so whenever you looked out, you were just, like, floating.
But I mean, like, put an extra-dimensional space inside the bag of holding
is it was
not
a,
good,
it was not an extra-dimensional space. No.
Many things go boom.
There would be no mic anymore.
Oh, there would. He would just be in the ethereal plane. Hmm. Or the astral plane. One of the two. I think you get dumped into the astral plane. Anyway, neither here nor there.
Another rabbit hole for another time.
So many things to explore.
And as you guys get up to the top and the opening of the observatory, Doc's boots, these little wings flitter out of his boots and he just starts flying up. And he flies up to the side of the ship. Which one of you is Mike? You must be Mike.
I'm Mike.
Who are you? Fascinating. I am Doc. I am Dr. Emmett Lathrop.
Oh, you're a doctor, huh?
Yes, and you are incredible.
Mike.
And he'll point to himself.
Yes, incredible Mike. Mike, how would you like to further science?
What do you mean by that?
come with me, my boy. And he's, do you have a ladder on this thing? And he's like yelling down to you guys. How do I get him down from here?
I mean, I pray something happens.
Nothing happens.
Oh.
Don't we have to do the like the swish thing?
I don't know.
Swish and flick.
I thought you sounded just like him too.
Okay. Swish and flick, right?
Yeah, I think it was a swish and yeah.
All right. Prepare yourself. This will be jarring.
Mike's gonna let down a deep sigh.
And he just holds out his hand and he like closes it. And you just like Mr. O when he casts Vortex Warp, you suck into a little black hole and then you appear down in the observatory next to the group. And then he just slowly flights. And he says to the rest of the crew, stay here. I have no idea who you are. And he just flies back down to the observatory. Now,
the crew has to be in like awe of like color.
Oh, yeah. They're up there and they're just eyes wide open, looking the fuck around. All of this is very alien to them.
Mike, in my mind, as a player, all I can think right now is the Willy Wonka song as Doc is leading you down the spiral staircase.
I wasn't thinking that, but now I am.
That's perfect.
So is this more reminiscent of like what Earth would, I mean, obviously it's not Earth, but a lot more familiar than maybe the Shadowfell?
No. Feels okay. Just as alien.
Okay.
Like everything, it looks like the architecture and everything is very medieval. You know, it's a big tower, but it's also like it's medieval architecture, but then there's all these elements of like a giant telescope and stuff that you would recognize from Earth, but it all just looks weird.
Like kind of steampunky?
Yeah, a little steampunky. It's like classic fantasy aesthetic with some like everything having to do with Doc has a little bit of this steampunk to it.
Okay.
And he leads you all down. He's so Mike.
Yes.
How did you become like this? I'm trying to be sensitive.
It's okay. Well. Back
you
on.
Are a very slow storyteller.
Yes.
Just skip to the good part.
I'm not used. Talking is kind of a strange thing to me. I'm getting better at it, but for a long time I was much more metal than I am now.
More metal?
I looked more like, you know, kind of point around it. I'm sure there's some automated things.
Oh, there's like this giant spider, and then there's a bunch of little spiders, and then there's like half-built like... It looks like half-built robots.
He'll point to like a bigger, like that. Machine.
But this guy, Marco, he tried to fix me. And they have this lady, Rain. She helped sort my brain out more.
Fascinating. How did you find him like this?
A lot worse. Imagine just... a really deformed, violent, 12-foot-tall floating monster.
Do you have freak shows here?
Freak shows? No.
Well.
I'm not familiar with the term, so I'm assuming no. I keep like, merging.
Yeah, I was kept against my will and forced to kill.
Well, that is barbaric.
Yeah, it was not a good time for me.
May I please poke and prod and study you?
As long as you're careful. I'm still slightly unstable.
I think I may be able to help you.
I would like that.
Very well. You gentlemen, you will be led to your rooms. Mike and I are going to have a little quality time. If anybody would like to observe, you are free to. But, yes. I have much to research before we leave in the morning.
Oh, we're leaving in the morning?
Well, I'm assuming that we are on some sort of a time crunch.
Yeah, you're right.
I assumed with Orin showing up in such a hurry that that would be the case. So, no time to waste. Get your sleep, and we will convene in the morning.
Alrighty.
Sounds like a plan.
So you guys get led to your rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that wants to go take a long rest can. Mike, you get brought down to the main laboratory. And he sets you down. He's, Mike, do you trust me?
I'll be honest, not entirely yet.
Wonderful. You shouldn't. I'm a madman. And he buckles you down.
Mike's going to start getting twitchy.
And over a course of time, he just starts like opening up all your panels and well, this is pointless. And he's like pulling wires out. And he starts poking and prodding. And
also, I assume I still have no connection with the caretaker on this plane.
No.
Okay.
And he's going through and he's like every 30 seconds you just hear fascinating. and you're fully awake while all this is happening and just kind of.
Is it painful?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not painful at all. I mean, your metallic parts, you don't really have much feeling there. And after a while, he's. Mike, how old are you?
Man, I think 15.
Yes, this seems about right.
Time passed weird for a while, I'm not sure. But I think if I recall, I'm 15.
15? This is... You've had a rough 15 years.
It's not been easy.
Mike, I have... an offer.
Okay, I'm listening.
I think I can give you a better life.
Well, these people have been pretty kind to me compared to what I had.
I would really like a new apprentice. And I think that your gifts that you've been given through this horrible ordeal, they are gifts. And I think these gifts can help bring equality to our world. People that don't have magic are oppressed. I believe that this technology that you and your friends have can, to an extent, level the playing field.
Yeah, maybe.
And I would really like your help to usher in that future.
I would really like to help people if I can. These people have helped me more than I've ever seen. So if I can do that for other people, I would like that.
Yes, and also you should be a 15-year-old.
I don't really know what that means, but...
This is no life for a child.
Yeah. I've seen bad things.
Well, come the morning, we'll present this to your group. I assume they're kind of your caretakers.
Yeah, they've seen me through a lot. They freed me from where I was before and introduced me to Marco and kind of set me where I am now, which is much better.
And as you're speaking, you see him reach under and he takes something and he just kind of jams it in like your torso, this open panel. And he jams it in there and twists it, and you see this on his metallic side, this like charge of energy go down his arm. Almost like he's doing the defibrillator. And you see this charge of energy go down, and you feel this charge go through you. And you feel this level of mental clarity. It's not, you know, Mike's not normal, but it's almost like what Rain did for Mike to begin with. and he just and it just seems to just clear up some of the muddled thoughts, and the metallic bits that your body is made of feel more connected than they did before.
This is only the start. I do believe I can make your life better.
Mike's gonna hold up his little clamp hand and kind of click it, but like with more dexterity, maybe? I don't know how it feels, but...
And we're going to give you some hands.
Wow.
Those seem useless.
Whatever you did, really, I felt it.
Good.
I...
There was always potential in there, but the limits of your Earth's technology are a handicap.
Man, well, if this is the start of what you can do, I'm interested to see what else... And looking around, you seem to know a lot about things like this. And he'll point to like all the metal around and...
Oh, no, none of this is anything like you. This is just a metal skeleton that's powered, that I channel my magic through, that operates it.
But maybe you know more than Marco. Like, Marco, he'll say the magic. Marco did not have magic.
Well, Marco does some impressive work regardless.
But I think it had limits, which maybe you don't have.
I think I need to meet this Marco.
He's interesting. If he's still there.
Earth
is not in a good place, I don't think.
Well, hopefully we can do something about that.
I hope so, too.
We'll find out tomorrow. How diplomatic is your group?
He'll give a shrug.
We have our work cut out for us.
Alphonse, he's good at talking.
Excellent. We're going to need that. I'm not much for diplomacy.
Well, thank you.
Yes, get some sleep. I'll see you in the morning.
He'll slump over.
Don't you still have him strapped?
Yeah, Doc doesn't even unstrap him. He just leaves him there. His bedside manner isn't exceptional.
That's pretty good to Mike.
The next morning, you all come to. Is there anybody that thinks they would be sleeping in?
No.
He's going to take his 2 hours of meditation and that's
it. I would have got my full 8 hours, but I probably wouldn't have slept further.
Okay.
I say, if there's a library... My character is going to be digging.
So there's just books all over this fucking place. Like it looks like this building used to just be like a wizard's tower.
Okay.
And you would be familiar enough with wizard towers. Mm-hmm. This looks like it used to just be a wizard tower,
mm-hmm.
and then Doc has converted it to an observatory.
Okay.
So there's still the bookshelves going all the way up the tower.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's books everywhere.
Would it be somewhat the same way as how back home they would have organized everything?
No.
Okay.
This seems fucking chaotic.
Okay.
there's no Dewey Decimal System here.
Dang it.
it seems to be just random.
Can I do an investigation for religion?
Absolutely.
Not good at all.
1,000,000.
16.
Oh. You guys think that 16s are not good at all?
10's average.
Yeah, a 16 is not a bad fucking roll. So you do find, you with a 16, you find a very basic religion book. The title is just The Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And as you flip through, you're reading like it has the index at the front. and it basically breaks it down into what their primary and secondary like deals are.
Okay.
Their scope of responsibility. You recognize none of the names. Not a fucking one. Give me a religion check.
Crit 25.
Very nice. So you gather all, like, you read this book pretty thoroughly. It, like I said, it's a pretty basic, you know, it doesn't go into great detail. But you get the idea that this world has its own pantheon, and it has a very different structure than what you're used to.
Okay.
So it seems there is a singular prime deity.
Okay.
And then there are titans, essentially appointed by this prime deity, and they have bits of his power so that they can focus in on the one or two aspects that they are kind of in charge of.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's kind of like a president in their cabinet.
I like it. Okay.
And so you find Ain, which is the primary. That is the prime deity. And then you do find the section on Selora. She is the goddess of the hunt and twilight. Presents as an elven woman.
Okay.
And you even know where she is. Which is, I have to bring up, she is in Starion, which
you totally know where that is.
Yeah. Well, you don't know where it is, but it just says Realm Starion.
I'm going to notate that in like a piece of parchment to find that, just to find out information on that for a Titan.
Okay.
So, perfect.
Yeah, it's a very different structure, pantheon structure, than what you're used to.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. After that, he's going to just wander until everyone's up.
Okay. And all of you make your way. After you wake up, you make your way out of the rooms. And as soon as you exit the rooms, the doors just like fold in on themselves and then disappear. Like they fold in half, then in half, and then in half until they get down just microscopic and then disappear. And you make your way out to the main laboratory area, and you all are in there for a little while. Doc is not around. You don't see the little spiders. You don't see anything. Is there anything anybody would like to do or look for during this time? You're nodding a lot.
Making sure I want to look for a book through Doc's book collection about like leadership and politics to try to understand better what we're dealing with because of the hints of negotiation.
So trying to kind of find out the geopolitical landscape of Aferia.
Yes, and potentially boost my charisma in this area.
Wonderful. Give me an investigation check.
Fantastic. The worst thing I'm at.
Do you While he's say, doing 37. While he's yeah. doing that.
Do you say that you're looking for that like out loud?
Yes. Book?
Yeah.
I would like to guidance him.
Go ahead and give me another investigation check.
Four.
Plus four. Oh, I'm guidancing good. Him okay. since he said it out loud.
Investigation. So 11 plus 15.
15 total?
Yes.
Okay. You find a few books. You have to search through a few books to really kind of parse together some basic information. The biggest thing that you run into is there's a lot of different languages.
Okay.
In these books. So you struggle to find books that you can read that pertain to what you're looking for. But you do find information about the different races and the areas that they inhabit on this continent and other continents. You find this map that's on the TV.
Okay.
You find that map of the continent, and it has laid out, like, you know, like, humans here. You know, and then you, it kind of separates it out into the different kingdoms, and you don't, I wouldn't say with a 15, I don't think you would find like, oh, this kingdom hates this kingdom, stuff like that. I don't think you would find that.
Why?
But you would at least be able to familiarize yourself with what groups live where.
Okay.
While he's doing that, I'm going to kind of poke my head around and listen to him and just, like, ask a couple questions while he's digging. Alphonse, are you saying anything about undead?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Why? What's up?
Some places don't take kindly to my kind.
Oh.
Just fun fact.
I guess with that, I'd kind of stare at the map a little more, see if there's any clear signs of maybe race types of people in certain areas.
So you don't see any notes of undead. You do know that about the only area that they don't have much information on is the Vrexta at the very north of the continent. Are you, like, peeking over his shoulder and looking at what he's...
Yeah.
You see Starion. You see the region of Starion.
Okay.
So that would definitely jump out to you. It's right below Vrexta.
Good.
And actually... no, you guys don't know where you are. So,
Either way, I'm going to notate that in my mind's eye. So, yeah.
Hearing the interaction that he had with Saloon and knowing that the Raven Queen is kind of an odd deity, I might kind of see if there's any reference to her.
Oh, yeah. So, we'll just say that with your curiosity and the only other pious person in this group is Fallen. So I would imagine that you and Fallen would converse a bit about this weird religious system that they have here. And you two would flip through and look for to see what the equivalent of the Raven Queen would be on this world. And you come across Resus.
Resus.
It gives a brief description, Simus. Resus is a different one.
Simus.
Simus.
Delete
yes.
Resus.
Cymos. The god of death and plague. And he is embodied by an ancient black dragon.
So do I make the similarities just because there's like a association with the domain of death?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be the closest association of all of the deities.
Simus. Okay. I know I don't always hear from the Raven Queen, but I'm going to try to maybe say a quick prayer, see if there's any response.
Give me a religion check.
Ten.
As you close your eyes and you're saying a quick prayer to the Raven Queen, and you just feel this sickly presence. Just like it's just looming over you, like you can feel hot breath on the back of your neck. And when you open your eyes to look behind you, there's nothing there. But you could, while you were saying this prayer, you could feel this heavy presence over you.
Do I feel like it was doing that because I was reaching out to the Raven Queen, or just
it was
like something's mad at me for doing that?
No,
or what's the vibe? Okay,
you were reaching out, and something was listening.
Okay,
and it felt very different.
Would I feel bad or feel intrigued?
It felt more menacing.
Okay,
but not evil, but not as ambivalent,
Simus,
as the Raven Queen.
Okay. Noted.
And what were you looking for, Ash?
I was looking for a history book.
History book. Sort.
I rolled a 4.
You find lots of books. You can't read shit for them. They are almost all, like, there's a dozen or more different languages in this library, and not a fucking one of them seems to be a language you read.
Awesome. I'm just flipping like, this is nonsense. This is bullshit. What the fuck is this? Like, whatever. I give up.
Yeah. And as you guys are looking through and doing your reading, and I imagine all of you would take your books and just find a place to sit and read. Mm-hmm. And after a while, Doc walks into the laboratory.
Ah, gentlemen, making yourselves at home, I see.
I appreciate the knowledge left out.
Oh, most excellent. There's no sense in hoarding knowledge. By all means, make yourselves at home, read anything you wish.
I can't find shit in here.
I'm going to look at Doc and just go, Seamus?
Simus.
Simus.
Simus, yes.
I'm still learning the language a little bit.
What of him?
What does he do here?
Well, that's a big question. Historically, a lot. Currently, a lot less.
Is he a good or a bad?
Neither and both.
Makes sense.
Yes.
I'll attempt to try to explain the Raven Queen to him. It sounds similar to her, but, you know, different. Yeah, you know, she's not good nor evil. She's wants to keep it fair.
Neutral, yes.
Yeah, neutral's the word.
She was less neutral in the past, currently more so.
I don't entirely draw from her power, but she definitely guides me, so I was reaching out to her here, and some, I don't know how to describe it, felt like warm breath on my back. Heavy breathing, almost.
Yes, dragons will do that.
Dragons, huh?
He is...
Is he a dragon?
Yes, he is a dragon. He is a very large, terrifying. I've only seen him the one time.
Well, we killed a dragon back in my world.
Yes, I would not tell him that.
All right. What? Are dragons common here, or is he like a rarity?
Oh, they're fairly common, yes. There's...
So maybe he doesn't love all dragons.
I mean, there's a lot less than there used to be, but there's still, I would say, a few thousand.
Well, he was the dragon we killed was like a zombie dragon. Would he like that or not like that?
A Draco Lich.
So there is so much to unpack,
yeah,
with Simus.
See, Raven Queen, she don't like the undead dragons. She's probably happy that we took care of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think he would be too. But
we didn't kill it
because
it was a dragon.
But
we...
at the same time, he's kind of an undead dragon himself.
Yeah.
In that he can't die, but his essence is constantly killing him.
Interesting.
So he's always dying and living and dying and living, and he just is in this perpetual state of.
I believe that's what
being
they call
eaten by his own
a quandary.
Power.
Maybe, is that the right word? I don't know. It's interesting.
Yes, he's a fascinating figure.
Is
one
just,
I do not wish to encounter.
Can you meet him?
Well, yes. I don't know why you would want to.
Well, he's breathing on my back. That's a little strange.
Yes, I would keep it at that.
All right. Thank you.
What can you tell me about... starts with an S.
Actually starts with a C.
Oh, C?
Celora. C-A-E-L-O-R-A.
What can you tell me about Celora?
She's wonderful. She's very sweet. She's no nonsense. She's very to the point. But a very sweet woman.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes. Would you... Well, you won't be here long enough to meet her, but... Maybe. Maybe you can come back after all this settles. What are you rolling for?
I was really tempted to pull a divine intervention to see if... Let's see if what happens.
Yeah, go for it. See what happens.
86.
Oh, no. It does not work. You try really hard to, like, channel her, and no response.
That's fair. Just more of a push of power, just to see what would happen.
His eye, he just went very blank. What is he doing?
He just does that.
Trying to pull...
It's still a little new right now. So.
Yes. Alphonse?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Are there... This is going to sound really weird, but should we not be maybe... Do they not like undead people here? Are there orcs here?
There are orcs, yes.
Whoa. World of Warcraft was real.
Whoa. So much money Warcraft. Into that.
Wow!
Is that a fighting guild?
Yeah.
And some.
I'm just wondering, do we need disguises or anything for what we have to do today?
No. In fact, I think your otherness will help in matters.
Okay. And then I've been trying to read this book, and I held up the book. I don't understand this. Can you make it make sense?
What's the book?
The Diplomat.
The geopolitical. Yeah.
Ah. Actually, that is very prescient. It has to do with our conversation this morning. So there are things you need allies, I'm assuming.
Whatever we need to get people to save our planet and save Rain.
Yes, so that would be allies.
Yes.
Yes, so we need allies. I am persona non grata, I suppose you could say. I can get you in the door, but my opinion doesn't carry as much weight as it once did. So you are going to have to convince them to listen. I can get you in, and then you have to convince them that helping you and helping your planet is in their best interest.
Do they know about, you know, Rain?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. In fact, I am likely in a great deal of trouble for that. They don't know that Orin and I took her. I did a good job of covering up my part in it. But I suppose the truth will have to come out at some point.
Question for you then. Would you say this place is a place of sanctuary that if you had to come back, you would be safe?
Me?
Yes.
Well, yes. I have committed a great deal of crimes that they don't know about, and all of this is definitely going to let them know about it, so I will likely face prosecution.
If everything goes wrong, would this be a fallback place to go?
Yes. We will likely go to prison, though. Or end up in the fighting pits. Could be that, too.
Do you have a spare area where I can etch something? I might have a plan.
By all means. If you find an open area... And he's, like, looking around. There's just... This is a cluttered place.
He's just going to, like, make a 20-foot square and start etching runes.
Man, you're going to really be competing for 20 foot.
That's fine.
But yeah, the spiders start, like, you, if you say out loud that you need 20 feet, the little spiders, like, get under furniture and lift it up and start moving it out of the way to make a 20-foot square. And you see, like, a couple of the spiders, they, like, get out a tape measure, and one of them scurries across the floor.
Actually, I only need
They measure
five
it
feet.
All out.
Never mind. Just 5 feet. 5 feet.
So you see all the spiders, like, hang their head.
So I'm going to set up Word of Recall this as an anchor point.
Oh, very good. That's a handy spell. All right.
So.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Fallen, I think you need to be a little bit more descriptive on your dimensions. I didn't think the spiders liked that.
I'm going to just pat them on the head.
Yes, the spiders are very exact. They follow orders extremely well.
I'm used to people just estimating, so if you say 20, then you usually get enough that you need.
If you say 20, you will get 20.
I'm used to getting then like 7.
Why? This makes no sense.
Fascinating.
Math on my homeworld is not...
Are you not from Earth? Like
no.
They are.
I'm from the Shadowfell.
Oh! Fascinating. I assumed he was with the whole Shadar Kai thing, but...
I am a reborn. I am undead.
Ah!
Are you like hourly undead? Like if someone looks at you, do they know?
He just looks real pale.
I just assumed I didn't know he was undead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's sick all the time.
Yeah.
He looks like he hasn't seen the sun in decades.
Yeah. As a Shadar Kai, you would be familiar enough to know that he's reborn.
Okay.
Generally, the only time he's breathing is if he has to talk.
Yeah.
So.
It's kind of a gray area because of the Shadowfell. So Raven Queen doesn't.
All right.
Yeah. Need not apply.
I was like, I just assumed I didn't know.
If I get shot, I get shot. It is what it is.
Well, you have a ragtag group. So who is... They say you're the speaker for the group.
Who, me?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Yes. Excellent. Yep. So we need to make a game plan. The geopolitical climate of this continent is complicated. You will need to make allies prior to approaching the council, because you will need people on your side to convince the council to take action.
So, what's our stance?
You need help. You need them to help you.
But do I include the baby god thing or not include the baby god
thing? Well, you need to play every card you have.
So I would include rain.
Okay.
We may want to be very careful.
Got it.
Also, I think it might be worth mentioning that once they're done with our planet, what's going to stop them from coming here?
I don't know the answer to that.
Exactly.
See, that is... absolutely correct. You need to make it imperative to them that they help you and make it clear that helping you is helping themselves, because they are only going to act in their best interest. I stole rain from the council. They are not going to be pleased by it, but the fact that you didn't bring rain with you means we still hold all the cards.
So are we going with the Earth strategy or not? Are we going Shadowfell strategy is where we're from?
You need them to show up on Earth, do you not?
True.
I'd say we go with the Earth strategy.
I say we might spin it like, wouldn't it be better for them to go to war on your planet and see the toll there than rather wait and then fight the battle here where their planet's going to face destruction? End it over there. Then they don't have to worry about all the aftermath.
What I'm really concerned about
this is
a
valid point.
The internal destruction we've already caused on the planet. Depending where they show up, it's not really a good scene.
I'm just saying maybe that'll convince them to want to fight there rather than wait till it gets here.
Yep, I see what you're saying.
I'm just thinking.
Bring the fight to them.
It's going to happen regardless. Just a matter of time.
So, the important thing is, we need to decide who we are going to align ourselves with. I can give you ideas, and you're going to be the best judge of who you think you can convince to join your side.
Well, I tell you what. Treat us to your tail, and we'll decide as a democracy.
Perfect.
Other question. How far away are we compared to where the Illithids come from?
Nobody really knows where the Illithid come from. They are from the far-flung reaches beyond what is known.
Have they been seen anywhere near here?
Oh, yes. They fell upon this planet when I was but a boy. And we were able to harness the power of rain to create a protective barrier around the planet. I, as I grew older and I sat on the Council of Elders, I realized that we were wrong and we were selfish, and that protecting our planet at the cost of every other planet was inconceivable.
So who's Rain Deed to you guys here?
Well, she is the daughter of Ain.
Oh, so you kidnapped the Big Mighty's daughter.
Yes.
So she a god then?
She is the daughter of a god. She is, has the potential to become one. She merely needs, it's almost as though they need to be inspired.
The divine spark.
Yes, precisely. They need something to, they need a reason to reach for that power. She was very powerful. But I felt the use of a child, no matter how powerful the child, the use of the child for those means was wrong.
Well, look at Mike.
And Ain abandoned us when we did that.
Makes sense.
So we're not going Team Ain.
Well, yeah, why don't we hear about these factions?
Yes. So, the factions. And he rolls out a map on the table. It looks just like the map that's in front of you. Handy.
Weird.
So, we have a few different options. So, the council is held on Autix, which is the capital of the elves.
Are they nice people?
They're stuffy pricks. They are first-class citizens. Everyone else is below them.
So I'll fit right in.
Yes. And looking at him, like, he is clearly an elf. Like, big pointy ear on just the one side. Like, he's very clearly an elf. And he did mention that he was on the council at one point. We will approach the elves last. That is when we approach the council, and by then we will have to have enough allies to convince them that it is in their best interest. If we do not have the support of any other kingdom, they have no reason to listen to us. They will simply throw us in prison, and we will likely die in the fighting pits. So,
do they use magic to block the fighting pits?
Yes. Quite effectively.
Good to know.
We have the humans, which may be your best bet, considering most of you are. We have the dwarves. We have the orcs. And we have two that are kind of a melting pot. So here you have... This is an elven-led city that houses all different types. But it is led by the elves. So if we start reaching out to people there, word will get to the council, and things could go badly for us. In the south, we have the two human kingdoms. Aligning with them, they are quite powerful. They are formidable. Athane is a trade capital, so everybody kind of relies on them for much. Zitrol, less so. And also, if we align ourselves with them, we are likely to piss off the dwarves. The dwarves are necessary because of their capabilities of waging war. They are impressive warriors. In the center here, we have Rundar and Morden, which are both dwarven cities. Rundar is going to be the more powerful of the two, but also they are difficult to get along with. Morden, less so, but still pretty pig-headed. Towards the north, we have Starion, which is druids and nature-loving folk, primarily. Vrexta, the orcs are excellent at waging war, not much for diplomacy. And then you have Cromor. Cromor is a cesspool filled with ne'er-do-wells. But the king is a rather fascinating individual. They all have their advantages and disadvantages. It just depends on which one you think you can convince to your side the easiest.
What about up here? Now he's going to tap at the top of the map.
The very top? Vrexta? Mm-hmm. That's where the orcs are.
That's where the
orcs
are.
Yeah, he would have pointed out that's orcs. Yes, if a tiefling is born amongst most of the rest of the continent, they typically find themselves in Vrexta. They unfortunately have a rough go of it in society otherwise.
What's a tiefling?
Oh, a half devil or demon.
Great, well, now we have demons here too.
You might find yourself in Azamar too. Half angelic.
Oh yes, there's quite a few actually.
So what about this Cremor? Why would they be a powerful ally?
Well, they are. Nothing happens on the continent without Cremor's involvement. If there is a deal to be struck, if there is money to be made, if there are weapons to be purchased illegally, if there really anything you need can be found in Cremor. The downside to Cremor is nobody takes them extremely seriously. They may be a good second stop.
What do you think about the dwarves?
Are you asking the group? Or are you asking?
Yeah, I'm looking at the group. Especially the second city. You said they're less pig-headed.
The smaller, Morden.
Yes.
I do think either Morden or Athane would
said
be
Athane,
most agreeable.
Most people rely on them, so if we could get them
they are
with
quite,
us.
They are quite influential.
Are they reasonable?
Yes. The humans by nature, as I'm sure you all can attest to, they adapt well. And they're good at forming alliances.
That seems like a natural
pick. That one sounds the best to me.
But, you know, I ain't the strategic type, so I don't know.
I'm just confused by all the races.
Mr. O, what do you think?
I mean, last time I was in Athane, I was arrested. But also, the last time I was in most of these cities, I was arrested. So, it's kind of Schitt's Creek for me, no matter what.
So you're going to disguise yourself then? When
I am going nowhere looking like this. That's the problem. But, I mean, Athane's pretty cool. It's a really, boy, don't fall out of line there, though. Like, you better follow the fucking rules.
How many alliances do you think we're actually going to need?
I would really, like, Cremor, you're going to want. They're going to be able to make things happen. But Cremor is hesitant to get involved in anything. So you're probably going to have to go to Cremor with a trade ally of theirs to help convince Cremor to join.
They trade allies with this a thing?
Yes, they would be the two kind of trade capitals of the continent. The elves are too heavily regulated in Atreidia, so not much business dealings goes on there. So Athain would be a valuable ally as long as you can mind yourself and not get into any trouble.
Oh, great. Tell Norris that.
So my thought is, how fast are we going to be traveling? Are we going to be traveling faster than word?
Well, I do have to say words, but very quickly. We're not going to fly there in your ship. That would be a silly waste of time.
Oh, good. Good. Well,
but would it be a show of power? A flying ship?
No. I mean, yes, most of these cities would be shocked to see a flying ship. That is true. But
would it show, like, sympathy towards us because we have the power already?
That would make you unsympathetic.
Exactly, yeah.
Better not to show the hand, then.
Yes, flying ships, they banned them, technically, years ago. It's a very long story. We isolated ourselves after we built the shield. And we no longer left. We really no longer left the planet. Prior to that, we traveled all over the verse. But ever since then, we've been isolated. I took it upon myself over the last 700 years to build a fleet in hopes that someday I would be able to launch an offensive against them. I've been at this a very long time.
You say 700 years?
Yes.
Well, you look great.
Thank you. I do my Pilates every day. And I try to eat right and take care of myself.
How 700 years?
Say again?
How are you 700?
I'm not 700. I'm 830.
Wow. How are you 830?
That's, I mean, it's a long life, but it's not the longest life.
Well, that's a long time.
I'm...
Even for, like, Elven standards, I feel like it's a long time.
I am nearing the end, but I am still kicking.
You look pretty spry to me.
Why, thank you.
Medicine check.
What's your role for medicine?
Just to eyeball him. Mm-hmm. 23.
You get the idea that as things started to fail on him, he started replacing them. And his metallic, heavily metallic exterior, it's probably him keeping himself going. Like, he is living an unnaturally long life. But he's just kind of... You have a high passive insight.
Yeah.
You get the idea that it's along the lines of, he is so determined to see this thing to the end that he is convinced that he is the only thing that is going to usher in this change that he wants. So he has been keeping himself alive.
Okay.
To see this through. Nice. But yes, he is around unnaturally long because he keeps replacing parts of himself.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to... Interesting. Mm. I'm going to notate that for the moment.
Well, should we make our way to Athene then?
What do you think? I'm just torn between that and Cremor. Do you, Doc, are there ailments to any of these towns?
Ailments?
Do they have a weakness? Like, is there something that...
Cremor? I would say with Cremor, it's mostly greed. They are a culture of excess. Everything is big and grandiose and showy, and it's a cultural thing. So they need to be... You must impress them, really, in order to really get them to side with you.
What's their... Do they have music? What impresses them? Like, you refer to that.
It's kind of the entertainment capital of the continent. If you say you want to take in some barbaric event, they have that. If you want to gamble, they have that. If you want to see some sort of show.
So it sounds like their version of Vegas?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would compare it to.
So maybe, because you...
Vegas is much easier to say than Cremor or Great Wind. Great Wind is the capital city. You see it notated there on the map.
I just think, you know, it'd be pretty balls to the wall if Cremor says no, and then we go to... Athene.
Athene? So Cremor first and then Athene?
Yeah, because then if we go to Athene and we can force the trade to not work, like they're trading between the two, it'd be a big dick move to go back and be like, well, now you have to partner with us.
I like that.
Plus,
I mean, you have the bonus of entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean.
And we do have a decent size of a war chest.
Yes, we do. I think we're prepared for most entertainment.
Yes. Yes. And he does this.
And he banishes everybody.
Bye-bye.
I need you to do a stealth check on that.
I will stealth check it. I'm going against what, your passive insight?
Yeah. Passive perception.
Oh, I have disadvantage on stealth.
You're not trying to sneak around. Okay. Your armor isn't gonna... I only count that if you're like sneaking through a hallway or 16. Something like that.
Imagine if it did.
My passive perception is 20.
Jesus. Really?
He really loves this. So charisma saving throw, I suppose.
Charisma saving?
Actually, did you make the lewd gesture towards any of the crew members?
Well, no. I was just kind of doing it for funsies to make okay. fun of Norris.
In that case, we're good. If you were like towards the crew members, and there goes the phone.
Do you think there's going to be a brothel there?
I'm pretty sure there.
Well, I mean, if it's like Vegas, there's got to be brothels. There's got to be brothels.
You're not wrong, Norris.
Yeah.
Boy. Oh. Yeah, Cremor it is.
Arm wrestling tournaments, maybe.
You think so?
I don't know.
I mean, they said a barbarian. What did you say was a barbarian entertainment?
Well, there is the fight. There's the fights. The fights are barbaric. They are blood sport. It's disgusting.
That sounds like right up your alley there, Norris.
And he's just like nodding. His eyes get real big.
Well, I mean, that is one way to get attention. The fights are kind of their main attraction.
What happens if someone took out their current champion?
They would have an audience with the king.
Who is their current champion?
Their current champion would be a gentleman named
Hang on. I have this.
Wow, prepared.
This is going to ring some bells for a few people.
I have a feeling it's going to hit. Hit home.
I gotta remember.
I bet it's you.
No, this is pre first campaign.
Oh.
Yes. This is a prequel, you could say. I can't think of his name. Well, I don't follow the sports. I don't know who the champion is. As I said, it's barbaric. I don't follow it.
You know, you don't seem like someone who's a sports person anyways.
No. Of course.
But if... Is it one-on-one combat, or is it a group contest?
Well, there are multiple different classes, multiple different types. You can do... Sometimes they throw a monster in there and a group is able to fight them, and sometimes it's one-on-one.
So, if you beat the... You still have a conversation with the king?
Well, yes. And that would be able to get in without me having to show my face.
I mean, that sounds like the easiest way.
I'd like to play that hand first, if you don't mind. Show a force, showing that we're strong. And then you talk to the king one-on-one without you having to tip your cards right off the bat.
That would be excellent.
Then, on top of that, we can say that Rain is on Earth. Reasons we don't have to discuss with him of why she's there.
In Cromore, you might not want to bring up Rain. That is something I would save. For actually, no, that doesn't work. No, you will have to bring up Rain. My apologies.
Well, I'll just need the handbook. Cliff notes.
Wonderful. I will fill you in when we get there.
Great. Cromore so, it is.
Cromore.
All right. So.
To Cromore.
Mm-hmm. Very good. If you all step outside, please. And he leads you all to the front door, and it opens up. As soon as you stand outside, he waves his hand, and the tower starts just like the doorways did. The tower starts folding on itself. It turns like two-dimensional, and then folds like paper, until it folds up to about the size of a credit card, and he just slides it in his pocket.
Question: if I cast my spell, will it allow us to still go there?
What spell?
Recall.
Oh!
It's an ability that...
So as soon as we get there, I'll put the tower back up. Well, I'd just like to bring it with me.
Fair enough. Is there a better place for me to set up that spell, then, other than in your tower?
You could put it in your ship. And we could leave the ship here.
What do you think? It's your ship.
You're the magic man.
Wherever I set this anchor point is where we go.
I mean, Doc did say the ship isn't really a good idea since they've been banned.
Yes, we will leave the ship here. For sure.
Where's here, Doc?
Oh, when you looked at the map.
Yes.
Towards the center, the elven city that has kind of everybody in it.
Yeah.
We're just north of that on the border.
Oh, okay.
And he points to... I'll point to it, but you guys are right about there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No.
Would there be enough supplies around here for the people on the ship to forage and live off the land?
Oh, yes. Ah.
Without having to meet any...
I will take care of that. Wait one. And he just flies up. And you see him, he gets to the top, and he's just like making small talk with them, like chatting with them. And then you see him do some waving of the hands, and then he flies back down. He's, they're all good.
Perfect. In that case, I'm going to etch on the ground here the setup of recall.
Perfect.
So if you want to put the ship back in the bottle, you can, but this place is where we're coming back if we have to.
Yeah. And this is just like, it's like a cleared hill. Like, it's a big hill, there's trees covering all the sides, but this top area has been flattened out.
I keep thinking, like, Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, it's very much like this is the castle's like home, but he takes it with him when he leaves. Mm-hmm. and yeah, it just folds up super small.
Mm-hmm. Perfect, yeah. Carve it into the ground, set it up perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, just so.
All right, so are we walking there? Is it a walk?
No, we're not walking there.
I think we should walk.
To Cremor. It would take us days. We have to go over the mountains. I am elderly. I am not doing that. I have magic for a reason.
And as you guys are having this conversation, he's just like looking at you bewildered, and he like waves his hands, and then a portal opens up in front of everybody. Walk there. Now you can walk.
I leave it to your wisdom. Just chuckling, walking through the portal.
And as you walk through, on the other side of this portal, you see a desert landscape and this massive mesa coming up out of the ground. And you walk through and you see hundreds of people, like carts. There's just like, there's all these roads coming into this mesa, and there's these openings at the base of this massive, it kind of looks like Devil's Tower, but on a much grander scale, like miles across.
I lean over to Alphonse and go, man, we really got to learn this magic thing. This makes travel so much easier.
It really does. And then I'd look back and you'd be like, Viva Las Vegas,
though. Let's do it. And we pound. Fist bump.
As you walk up, you see carriages, you see people with carts that are obviously like merchants and stuff like that, and they're all rolling into these openings at the base of the mesa.
He's, well, gentlemen, our future awaits. Let's hope we can save the multiverse.
Weapons need to be peace-bound at all?
No. No, in fact, I highly recommend against it.
Perfect.
Keep an eye on all your belongings. Do not blink. Do not look away. Do not trust anybody.
Gonna tuck my coin purse down my shirt.
I immediately start blinking in hopes I can get it all out before we get
it
down.
And you all start walking towards this massive mesa.
So, things to know about Great Wind. This is Great Wind, the capital of Cremor. It is, honestly, I don't know how it got here. Nobody really knows. It's been here for millennia. When you get to the tunnel, just let it happen.
And you walk up, and you guys, there's just a few people ahead of you in line as he says this. And as you, who would be first? Who would be at the front? Fallen.
Yep.
It's like this cave opening, and you see the person, like you're like talking, and then you look and you watch the person in front of you. As soon as he says, just let it happen, the person in front of you gets like pulled forward. And it's too late for you to like stop yourself. You take a step forward, and as soon as you breach the opening of the tunnel, this gust of wind comes in behind you, and the floors are polished smooth, and you're just like sliding across the floor through this 300-foot wall. And you're just like 60, 70 miles an hour just sliding across the floor.
You just hear, fuck!
And Doc steps forward, and he's just very nonchalant about it, like he knows it's coming. And he pulls his hood up and gets pulled through.
Well, I guess we walk.
Yeah, I'd like to check my pocket for sunglasses if I can do a luck check.
Go for it.
Not good. It's a 7.
They're there, but they're broken.
In a bit of disappointment, I join you.
I'm going to do that. You know, like when you're stepping off the escalator, that awkward like step. And then I'll kind of do that awkward like.
Okay. Yeah, you just inch forward and then all of a sudden. And you go from 0 to literally 60 and you're just sliding across the smooth floor. And as soon as you get to the other side, there's like a headwind that slows you down at the end. And as soon as you get inside, it is this massive, like somebody just hollowed out a tree trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And so the walls go straight up for hundreds of feet to the top of this mesa. Like somebody just scooped out all the inside of this thing. And there are thousands of people. This place is packed. Right in front of you, there's a large market, and people are yelling, people are screaming. In the middle of this big opening, it looks like it's about a half mile wide,
mm-hmm.
A raised center to the city. So there's a second tier to it, and then coming off of that, there's another one that comes up for a third tier. And you see at the top of that sits a massive castle. As you look around, there's so much to take in. It is sensory overload. It's that bright orange that you get in like the desert. Like the sun is just too fucking bright here.
Oh, God.
And everybody is... It's got kind of a Middle Eastern, Moroccan kind of feel. So everybody's wearing like light, flowy clothing. Most of the walls of the buildings are just like they're fabric tents and then like stucco buildings. And then as you look up the walls, you see in these massive, like I said, 400 or 500 foot tall walls all the way around. And there's all these openings covering the walls, and you see people walking towards the wall, and then all of a sudden a gust of wind lifts them and brings them up to these openings, and it's people just going about their day. This is totally normal. It's like they're just taking an elevator and it's lifting them up to all these different openings in the walls, and we'll pick it up in Great Wind next time.
Wow.
Wow.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Dubstep and Dragons, our continuation into the Act 3. So,
I want a fucking hot dog.
Wow.
Make sure to check us out on your favorite podcasting platform. Drop a like, follow, and subscribe, as well as leave us a comment. Let us know what your thoughts are. Blah, 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 blah. And as always, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.